hand would be upon the services here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church today. Lord, without you, we are nothing, and we can do nothing. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for your mighty power to save the creation that proclaims, that screams out the glory of God. Lord, all over, men are blind and need you. I pray that you would open blind eyes this morning. And Lord, may we have your power in the Sunday school hour, all over the church, as people stand to preach and teach the word of God today. May your power be evident in our lives. Lord, we thank you for our fathers today. We thank you for the fathers who brought us into the world. And Lord, even if our fathers weren't perfect, we have a perfect Heavenly Father in you. And we praise you this morning for being our perfect Father. Lord, help us now as we honor you, as we honor your word this day. Lord, you've told us to pray and bring requests to you, so we do that right now. I pray for these, for Maxie Wampler, Lord, as she is facing surgery very soon this week. I pray, Lord, that you touch her body. Heal her, Lord, may it be successful. Guide the doctor's hands, guide their work, and may, Lord, you do what they can't do and provide healing and relief to her. And I pray for Cindy Cox, Lord, I pray for her this morning. Lord, just be with the Coxes, help them as this evil that we constantly are facing in our world today of cancer is cropped up its head in their lives. And Lord, I pray that you would touch her, help her as she goes through this PET scan. Lord, may it be a good result. I pray that you would bless the chemo and everything and help it to work. And Lord, more than that, I pray that you just touch her body, heal her, Lord, and give her strength. And Lord, I pray for Susan, this gal who is struggling, Lord, just mentally and emotionally and spiritually, most of all, God, that you would touch her as she is right now in a crisis point in her life. Lord, I pray that that the world's answers would ring hollow and that she would turn to you for help. And I pray that you would give her strength, help those that are friends to visit and to share Christ and to share your power with her. I pray that she would turn to you right now. And Lord, we pray for the missions trip up at Forest Glen, up in Nova Scotia. Lord, we pray for the reasons. We pray for all that ministry up there. Lord, we pray for this week of camp that they'll be having just a wonderful time. Lord, that many young people will come to know Christ in that very dark country of Canada. Lord, so few Christians in that country. I pray that you would send out the gospel light. And I pray that our church's team would have a part in that, investing in their infrastructure and in their spiritual lives as well. Be with all those there. Keep them safe. Keep them healthy. Keep them strong in you. And I pray that you would be glorified. And Lord, we ask that you would do this because it's in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to pass these around, and I'll ask you, if you would please, to get your Bibles. We're going to do a study through a psalm this morning, one of the most well-known psalms, I suppose, in the Bible, and yet hopefully a fresh look or a good refresher for you, and a blessing to you this morning. Psalm 19. Everyone, if you'll turn your Bibles to Psalm 19. I will confess, this was my theme the entire week, so I won't do any magic tricks or anything like that, but I will give you about a week's worth of Bible study put into one Sunday school lesson. I'm just kidding. we won't make it too overwhelming. Sometimes you get so full of the scripture, you just want to let it go, and it's like kind of drinking out of a fire hose. Doesn't really work that well, and blow your lips off, so you don't want to do that. Everyone, Psalm 19, let's read through the psalm this morning. It's just 14 verses. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. This morning I'm going to have a guy from Brazil with me in the service. But creation speaks in Portuguese and Russian and any other language that there's ever been in the entire world. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their word to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which as a bridegroom cometh out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. There is nothing hid from the heat thereof. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. You know, we see a progression through this psalm. Creation is the revelation of God, the general revelation of God. It's to everybody. The Word of God is the specific revelation of God without which you cannot be saved. And then we see the application of the Word of God to the individual's heart. There's sections of three here, verse 1 through 7, 7 through 11, and 12 through 14. But let's just start off at the beginning. Let's walk through the psalm. Creation. Have you sat down and thought today about the air you breathe? Probably not. The way the oxygen molecules bind in the hemoglobin of your blood with the iron and release carbon dioxide in a chemical transaction that you didn't even think about, but you've been using all day and all night, and since you were born, by the way. Didn't even cross our minds. There's an amazing book I've been reading. I recommend it to you if you like books like this. It's called Made in Heaven. A guy named Jeffrey Cito, who's an aerospace engineer, and Ray Comfort, who's an evangelist, they co-authored this book. Great stuff. It is all about how modern technology is catching up with God. You know, everybody's heard about Blu-ray discs. The cool thing about Blu-ray disc is anybody ever worn polarized sunglasses? Polarized sunglasses. Right? They stop the glare coming off of cars and stuff that comes at you as a blade of light because they filter the light that's going like this, up and down. It's polarized. The new technology in Blu-ray discs that everybody is talking about today is it polarizes the light in a corkscrew shape. It's called CPL, circular polarized light. Circular polarized light can read a whole lot more information in a whole lot smaller space than a single blade of light. You know, this corkscrew has more surface area than a straight line. You know, easy to understand. The only wavelength they can get to do that CPL is blue. God made a shrimp that can do it with 100,000 different wavelengths. A shrimp's eye can see 100,000 different colors in CPL. They're trying to figure out how. Because everybody wants smaller data compression. Everyone wants more memory on their camera or their data stick or their cell phone or whatever. And they, that'd be so cool, but they can't figure it out. But God made it. He put it in a shrimp's eye. And the Lord just sits there and goes, yeah, figure that out. You know, God has stuff hidden everywhere. On our display table, we have a blue-winged butterfly. It's called a morpho butterfly. They have them in Brazil. You may have seen them when we've had our display table. It looks like a reflector. When you look at it, it's like a natural reflector, like on a bike. That bug is doing something with light that they're just now beginning to understand. There's two layers of scales on its wings. The top layer is clear, lets the light go through. The bottom layer reflects the light back. But the top layer of scales aren't flat. They're shaped like Christmas trees. And what they do is they harmonize light waves. As the light bounces back into your eye, it goes through this structure on the wing. And it puts, have you ever heard the term in phase? When something's in phase, it's going together and it makes it stronger. When something's out of phase, it'll cancel each other out. This is static, this is radio, this is stuff that we hear and see light waves work this way. it actually takes blue light and puts it in phase and amplifies it so that when it comes back at you, it's bright and shining. And the other light waves cancel out. And it's on a bug. They're studying this to work with radio to make uncounterfeitable bills and IDs, because you can't print this. It has to be structurally produced. And God put it on the wing of a butterfly. Do you know when the Lord says in creation, as you study through the days of creation, and God creates the world in 6 days. By the way, if you wondered if there were 6 literal days in Exodus, God says, oh, by the way, on the 7th day, it's going to be a Sabbath of rest, because in 6 days I created the world. Evening and morning, evening and morning, evening and morning, evening and morning. It's a structure. It's a 7-day week. God made it that way. God's creation proclaims his glory. When you look at the microbiology, the way cells work, the way atoms work, did you realize if you took the atoms of an ordinary size dogwood tree and released all the energy in the atoms of that tree, you would have enough power to power the United States for 10 years? 10 years. I know a guy who's working on the nuclear reactor they're building out in Middle Tennessee. First nuclear reactor built in the United States in, I don't know, like 50 years or something like that. They're trying to get everything right. He's under all this stress and pressure and stuff. But they're just releasing a few atoms worth. You saw the atomic bombs. You know, we've seen the footage of the, you know, they let off a few atoms of uranium over a city and 50,000 people died. That's just a few atoms being torn apart. That's God. And the Bible says in Colossians, he holds all things together by the word, by his word of his power. By him, all things consist. That Greek word means they hold together. They can't explain why protons don't fly apart. They're all positives and they're all together in the nucleus of an atom. Why don't they just repel each other? They don't understand it. They can't explain it. As much as they love to sound pontificate and sound like, you know, we got the Hadrian Collider and all this cool stuff that we're, you know, we know about atoms. Yeah, right. I can't. Fusion, fission, all this stuff. God just like, yeah, I'm just going to hold it together. And one day he's going to release it. And Peter says the elements are going to melt with fervent heat. That's sort of an understatement. Yeah. Imagine every atom in the world suddenly disintegrating at once and releasing all that power at once. That's going to be a little bit of a fervent heat. Yeah, that is. Here we see the handiwork of God, the glory of God. One of the biggest problems to me with accepting the theory of evolution, there's so many of them, but I know some good, fine Christian men who try to fit evolution into their mindset, into their teaching, and into their structure of understanding the Bible. But the Bible says over and over and over and over and over and over and over, give glory to God because he created. Now you, if you want to walk that fine line, you had better not stop giving glory to God because of creation. And how do you do that? To believe that random chance created stuff that is so particularly designed, engineered, common sense tells us, a design requires a designer. Random chance doesn't design complex systems. There's an irreducible complexity. Do you know what I mean by that? It's a machine in which if you remove one part, it doesn't work. The whole thing doesn't work. There's an irreducible complexity in nature. You can try and break it down to simple parts, but you come to the parts and you're like, if you take this out, it doesn't work. Any single part, the whole thing stops. Your eye is a good example. It has 30 different parts. You take one of them out, it doesn't work. Why would you evolve something that is of no benefit at all unless all 30 parts are already there? Evolve simultaneously. Doesn't make sense. Okay? God designed it on purpose. Why? So that we look at nature and even the most skeptical person can say, there's somebody who made this. Now, that tells us what? You don't have to turn there, but if you want to, Romans chapter 1, it tells us of certain attributes of God. Number one, in Romans chapter 1, it says in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest to them. That's people who are on this earth, people who are sinners. Because God showed it unto them. How? For the invisible things of Him, that's God, from the creation of the world, Romans chapter 1, verse 20, are clearly seen. That's what we just said. Being understood by the things that are made. Even what? His eternal power. Okay, you look at space, that's where God goes, and Godhead. So that they are without excuse. You might want to hold your place there. We'll come back to that. Day unto day uttereth speech, Psalm says. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And then he goes on and he talks about the sun charging out as a, you know, as a newly married man, just opening the windows in the morning, excited for his life, excited about the guys. I think of the Olympics here, so it's about a runner getting ready to run the race. They come up to that 100-meter dash line, and they're not like, you know, they're like, oh, you know, they're jumping up and down, they're doing, you know, ballistic stretches and calisthenics, and they're, you know, they're getting down there, all every muscle is just quivering, and that gun lets go, and they're boom! Okay, that's the idea. This sun is roaring through the heavens. I because I was doing junior camp, I made PowerPoints out of, you know, stars and sun and show, you know, you can fit 993,000 Earths inside the sun. If you don't melt them down. If you melt them down, you can, the volume, you can fill up the whole thing in over 1,100,000 something. Yeah, just so you know. Anyway, the sun's a lot bigger than us. The sun lets go enough energy in 1 second. It produces enough energy in 1 second to power the entire world for like 10 years. I don't know, it's like 10, 12 years. You're like, really? Yeah, most of our energy that we harness and use in this world in some way comes from the sun. It is amazing. I mean, it's, you know, just this boiling huge star. And it's a little star. Did you know to go around the sun, you know, they measure things in light years when we talk about space. To go around the sun, it would take like 4.3 light year seconds. You know, at the speed of light, light seconds, okay, 186,000 miles per second or whatever it is. So that's going around the sun one time. There are stars in our Milky Way universe that would take 2.5 hours at light speed to go around one time. That this does not compute. I put it on the screen for the kids, and I'm like, and there's, you know, Antares and Betelgeuse and all these different stars, and you look at them and you're like, where's the sun? Well, it's over here. There's a arrow pointing, and it's 1 pixel. 1 pixel on the screen. You can't see it. It's too small to actually show compared to these. And the earth is 1 million times smaller than the sun. You know what Psalm 8 says? What is man that thou thinkest on him? And the Son of Man that thou considerest him. If you really thought about your life and everything about it, you would just be like, and God cares about me. And the fact is, God intimately cares about you. God became us. God came down in human form, humbled himself, the one who made the stars. You know the most understated verse in the entire Bible? And he made the stars also. 1 billion of them, and he knows them all by name. And that's just the ones we can see. We don't even know for sure how many there are. And he made the stars also. You know, to God, it's nothing. His power is so vast. He made these beautiful things for us to explore. I think, you know, this is just my opinion. It's like Pastor Jody says, can't prove it. You can't disprove it, whatever. But, you know, I think God made so much beauty in creation, in space, you know, because one day we're going to get to go see some of those things. We're going to go get to enjoy them. We're going to go get to see what he made. I can't prove that for sure, but, you know, there's so many things that no one will ever see. But if you have a new body that can, you know, space and time don't matter and you can go visit places, that'd be awesome. Be a way to praise the Lord, give him glory. Anyway, just a thought. Get your imagination going. But here we see a change. It comes down to talking about the sun. There's nothing hid from it. The creation's everywhere. Everybody, doesn't matter who you are, nation, nationality, race, you know in your heart of hearts that there's a God and that He is powerful. But you need something else. You need the Word of God to help direct you. It is not enough to just say, look, you know, the creation's out there. If they want to know God, they're gonna search for Him, because sin comes into play. And there's choice in the matter. Romans chapter 1, verse 21 says, because that when they knew God, they knew that there was a God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. Can I make a point of application? Have you been thankful this morning? Have you glorified God for who He is? A lot of times we're not. A lot of times we're proud, and we're so concerned with our little life and how things go or don't go. Hey, I can tell you, I got 6 kids ready for church this morning, and none of them wanted to wear anything that they had, and it was like, test of thankfulness. But I'm thankful for all of them. But there was a choice in that matter. I had to choose to be thankful. I could have chose real easy not to. We can all choose to get upset and get so concerned with ourselves. But when we see God for who He is, we see His creation for how magnificent it is, we give God glory, then it puts things in perspective, and we stop thinking about us, and we start realizing we've got a great God. We've got a great God. That thought right there makes everything different, unless you refuse it. And here it says, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful, but became vain, empty in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. How foolish it is to exalt ourselves against this great God. Professing themselves to be wise, they became worthless fools. The idea of fool in the Bible has an idea of worthlessness, emptiness, complete lunacy. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image like corruptible man and birds and four-footed feathers and creeping things. People want to tell me about their God a lot of times. They want to tell you about their God when you go witnessing and talk to them. Well, I don't think God would send anyone to hell. And you can say to them, you're right. Your God would never send anyone to hell because He doesn't exist. You just made Him up. Not to be rude, but that's not God. You just made that up. Because God has to punish sin. He's a perfect judge. God doesn't send people to hell. They choose to go there. But the judge of all the earth is going to do right. That's a sobering thought. We always are inventing gods in our own minds. Mankind has invented millions and millions of gods of their own imaginations. A lot of times we're our own God, you know. We act like we make the rules and everything depends on us and the universe revolves around us. And my problem most of the time is I think too much of myself. I act as if I'm God. God says, hey, look, that's foolish. And even worse, God gave these up. If you continue that kind of thought process, you know, again, starting with unthankfulness to God, starting with rejection of God's glory, you go all the way down the path into uncleanness through the lust of their own heart. I mean, you know, sexual perversion, changing the truth of God into a lie in verse 25, worshiping and serving the creation, the creature, more than the Creator. Man. And it starts with rejecting the light that God's given us in creation. But if you receive that light, if you accept that, then God has special instructions for us. The law of the Lord is perfect. What does that mean? It is complete. It is everything we need. It says in Romans, I think it's chapter 10 or chapter 15, I can't remember which one. I think it's chapter 10, like 1 and 2. We have all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God has given us everything. The things that were written before time were written for our instruction. That's Romans 10, 3 and 4. That we, through the knowledge and study in the Scripture, should have hope. God gives us here instruction. He talks about now His word, the law. Now, we don't like the law that sounds so rigid, but the law shows us something. Look what it does. It is perfect. It converts the soul. How? Well, number one, you've got to admit that you're a sinner. And you know how you run into that? The law. Read Romans. If you've not read the book of Romans recently, oh man, get in there and read that book. It is so good. I just finished it last month. Man, the law. Paul says, I wouldn't have known what sin was except for the law. But then, you know, it's like you're going down the highway and you're doing 70 miles an hour, da-da-da, and you see this sign that goes by and it says 55, and you're like, whoa, didn't realize I was in a 55 zone. Now you are aware of the law. Now it's a choice. What do I do with that? Do I keep cruising or do I slow down? Because there might be a cruiser around. Yeah. The law comes into play. We can just go on in our lives. We're just happy-go-lucky and doing whatever until we come into contact with God's law. This is why witnessing to people, FYI, when you witness to someone, you need to talk to people about the law of God. You don't have to go through the whole Ten Commandments with them. But if someone doesn't realize they're a sinner, to say, hey, God loves you. Great. Okay. Thanks. Appreciate that. I mean, that's not a bad thing to say to somebody, but, you know, Jesus Christ wants to forgive you for your sins. Tell that to a cash register. And they're thinking, what are you talking about? I'm not a sinner. Now, that guy working three registers down for me, oh, you should see what he does on the weekends. He is a sinner. But I'm not a sinner. I'm better than him. No knowledge of the law, there's no sense of guilt. But if you talk to someone, I've got these little cards I'm giving out right now. This is not in any way, shape, or form the only way to do it, but they're cool. It says a smart card. It's got this little cool looking, it looks like it's some electronics, but it's actually totally fake. It's got this sparkly thing in the middle. It says, hold your thumb on here for exactly 15 seconds, and if you're a good person, it'll turn green. It doesn't work. It doesn't change color at all. And it says, oh, sorry, you're just like everybody else, you know, just like the rest of us, you know. And it talks about, but it goes in, it talks about the law. Why? Because you say, well, have you ever told a lie? Well, yeah. How many lies you ever told in your life? Oh, I don't know. A lot, you know. Well, what do you call somebody who lies? Well, a liar. You ever taken something that's not yours, even if it doesn't belong to you? I mean, just even something small. Yeah, who hasn't done that? Well, we call a thief, okay. You ever lust after someone in your heart? Yeah, God says that's a lust. You ever take God's name in vain? That's called blasphemy. What am I doing? I'm bringing a consciousness of sin. Not to point fingers and say, hey, yeah, me too. I mean, I'm saying, hey, me too. I'm a sinner. You know, we're all sinners. Realize the consciousness of sin. All of a sudden, the weight of sin comes to rest on our soul. And you realize, and then the question is, okay, if you're going to stand before God and he's going to judge you according to these laws, just the Ten Commandments, you can use that so easily. Just the Ten, would you be guilty or would you be innocent? Honest person has to say guilty. And then God can bring the good news, the gospel, that Jesus Christ took the penalty of my sin. He took the cup of God's wrath and drained it and turned it over and set it down on the table and said, it is finished. It's finished. It's paid for. It's done. The law has been satisfied. You can be saved even though you are a sinner. That's good news. That brings conversion. The law of the Lord is enough. It's perfect. It's complete. Converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. What is that? That is solid. That is sturdy. When you build on a rock, my house is the old Gresham place out on near Hales Chapel there. You go down in the basement of that house. It's a cellar, by the way. Nice new houses have basements. This house got a cellar. It's got dirt floors, but you know what's coming up out of the dirt? Rock. They built that house on rock. Why'd they do that? You say, well, it didn't have a whole lot of concrete back then. No, but they built it on something solid. It was like the farmhouse for that section of the day back in 1900 when it was built. It's lasted for 113 years. Pretty good. Built on a rock. Built on solid stuff. The testimony of the Lord is sure. What does it do? It makes wise the simple. Did you know even a child can learn it and follow it? I'm not that wise. I'm a little bit simple. Really, when it comes down to it, we all are. But if you're like, man, I don't understand some of these, you know, weighty matters, these great thoughts, these deep things of God, it's okay, because you can build on the testimony of God. It's sure, it's solid. You can trust it. It's not going to let you down. The statutes of the Lord are right. They're righteous. They are they rejoice the heart. What is that talking about? The statutes of the Lord being righteous. If you follow something and you're not sure if it's right or wrong, how does it make you feel in your heart? Unsettled. Not exactly, I hope I'm doing the right thing here. You know? If you know you're doing the right thing, you're positive this is the right thing to do, how does that make you feel? Confident. It's rejoicing your heart. It makes you excited to go forward. Do you have to wonder if this is right or wrong to follow? No. Don't make it hard for yourself. Is it right? Is it wrong? Well, if I'm following Scripture, if I know this is what God says, I'm going to follow it. You have confidence in that. Don't be afraid of that. Follow it. Go, rejoice in your heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. Oh man, this is one of my favorites. I could park here the rest of the time. The commandment of the Lord is pure. When it's talking about pure, when something that's is pure, obviously there's it's like that water coming from the tap that we want to drink. It's unadulterated. It's pure. We get water purifiers. We go buy bottled water. We always want to get something more pure. But when it comes down to it, what is it? It's water in its simplest form. It's simple. It's not complicated. Something that's pure has not been clouded up with other stuff. The commandments of God are simple. Do we have commandments from God? I can tell you one that applies to everyone in this whole building that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's a commandment. It's simple. It's pure. We just do it. Guess what? It says it enlightens the eyes. When you understand that that commandment applies to you, it's an aha moment. That's that enlightening the eyes idea. Aha. You ever had one of those? You're like, aha. Okay. Being a missionary is not just something that I'm doing. Guess what? We're all in the same boat. We have to come up with different ways maybe to work in different parts of the big field, but it's a big field and everybody's in part of it. What are you doing to live gospel-centered, Christ-centered living today? Have you complicated your life so much and clouded it up so much that winning souls and seeing people going to heaven, you can't even see a way through that to do that pure commandment, that simple commandment? Ouch. I know. Ouch. That's me too, okay? We get so turbulent in our lives and so wound up with other stuff that we forget the pure, simple, right, that's what we're supposed to be doing. Honestly, what else is going to matter? Is it going to matter how big your 401k is or how much property you own or how well, you know, many vacations you took, or is it going to matter how many souls are in heaven because of you? In eternity, what's going to matter? And by the way, eternity is not that far off. 100 years from now, none of us are going to be here. None of us. And you think 100 years, that's a long time. Really, it can go by like that. Let's get some perspective. Let's do what's important. Does that mean having a job is not important? No. You have a mission field on your job that I don't have, that no one else in this room has, but you have. You have people on your street that nobody else may witness to but you. You have family members that nobody else may witness to but you. You have folks that you're going to run into tomorrow that I'm not going to run into tomorrow. So what are you doing about getting the gospel to them? See, well, nobody's paying me to do that. Really? God says there's treasure in heaven for you if you do that. Is a paycheck and treasure in heaven, how do those weigh? Yeah. not that different. You mean, and can I just be real clear with you? If you're witnessing to somebody and you've got a good church home, would that mean turning down a promotion to continue to serve God where you're at if the new job wouldn't let you serve in the same way? Or would keep you out of church or move you to a town where there's not a good church? Is that practical? Is that, ouch, yeah. And I know people, I know a guy last week who moved, pulled up and moved to California, started took just a minimum wage job because he's helping a guy out there who's planting a church. You say, why would you do that? Well, because he wants to help a guy plant a church. They're doing gospel ministry. He's looking for a better job. He'll get one, I'm sure. God's providing for his family, but the Lord put that on their heart. They moved across the country. They moved from West Virginia to California. I was with his dad in North Carolina in the Outer Banks area there near Wilmington, Lake Waccamaw. I talked to him on Sunday. I was at his church, and he was so excited for his son. It was hard. I mean, you know, the main thing is that they took the grandkids with them. That was tough. That was tough. But his dad wouldn't want him to do anything else. Why? Because he had an eternal perspective. Everything we have is going to get burned up. Are you living this morning for the Lord or are you living for a landfill? Everything in my house one day is going to go in a landfill, including the house. Except for the souls that live in my house. I want to take them to heaven with me. And the people that I win for the Lord, they're going to be in eternity because God allowed me to be a mouthpiece to them. That's God. Hey, God will use all of us that way. Let's just keep the focus on what's pure, what's simple. That's some preaching there, sorry. That's Sunday school, but amen. The fear of the Lord is clean. There's that fear. That is respecting God, understanding the reverence, the righteous, rightful respect for God. Boy, that is lacking everywhere in our country today. You know, God says that we should be fearing him. And that's not the, you know, but it is that respect. And Father's Day, this is a good way. If you had a good dad who loved you, you knew he loved you, but you knew also he meant business when he sold you to do something. We can get a little picture of that, not perfect, but a little picture of that of, yes, sir. You know, this is a you know, private coming up to his sergeant or his corporal or his general, and he says, do this. Yes, sir. There's a respectful awe. Yeah, if you don't do it, are there consequences? Sure. In my house, there was consequences. You didn't do right. There was consequences. Say there was different consequences for different times of my life. But, you know, as a little kid, it was a little pat on the hand. As a, you know, junior, whatever, it was a spanking on the bottom. As a teenager, it was, you know, grounding from other stuff. I mean, you know, there was consequences. Well, God is a perfect father. He says in Hebrews, if you can do anything you want to and God never, there's never any consequences in your life, you're not really a kid. You're not really a son. You just say you're a son, but you're not really a son or you're not really a daughter. If you're a child, you know, and there's different levels of this fear of the Lord. You know, my dad could be up on the pulpit and we would be messing around in the service and he'd just give us a look. You use it all the time with your kids. It's the, you know. Or unless it was my brother and he'd be just like, you know. And then dad would have to come down out of the choir. One time my dad came down out of the choir and got my brother and hauled him to the back of the auditorium. And he was kicking and screaming the whole way. And Preacher Leslie said, lay it on him, Graham. Anyway, yeah, that was Ryan. He'll be here this morning. You can tell him I said that. They had a little different, you know, but there was different levels. You know, there was the look, there was the finger, then there was the paddle, and then, you know, it progressed. God sometimes just has to give us a look and be like, hey, you know better. Yes, Lord. If we listen, great, that's it. Don't make him get out the paddle. I tell my kids, I say, you know what? One of the reasons that I punish you is because when you leave the house, I don't want God to have to do what I should have been doing. It's way worse to get paddled by God. You know, there's a lot more severe consequences to that. He swings a lot bigger paddle. And why? And this endures forever. This is something forever and ever and ever. We should be living this way with that respect, that honor to God. showing in our life how we live. The decisions I make a lot of times are not what I want to make, but it's what I make because I'm honoring God. You know, whether it's entertainment choices or, you know, how I discipline my kids. I mean, it's just honoring God. And that's hard to do. Sometimes we get really far away from that. I've been there. Just wrapping this up. The judgments of the Lord are true. By the way, if you dishonor God and he has to judge you, why does he put those two together? Because if he does have to judge you and he does have to punish you, he's true and righteous. It's going to be right. It's going to be what you deserve. He's not, unlike humans, we can go past what we should. You know, look at Penn State. You know, you let human judgment take over. I'm not saying anything that happened there was right, but you let human judgment take over, it usually goes past and beyond. Over punishes. You know, it either doesn't punish at all or it over punishes. God's perfect. He's true. He's righteous. Let me leave you with this prayer and with this thought. Oh, by the way, moreover, by them is thy servant warned. Yeah, you're warned not to be judged. But in keeping of them, God says there's great reward. If God calls it great, it's great. Pray that prayer, the last three verses of this psalm, every day of your life. God, cleanse me from secret errors. Show me places where I'm sinning and I don't even know it. Don't let me hide sin from you, God. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray this prayer now to you. Let our hearts and our minds be in such in tune with you today that you would show us areas in our life that are secret faults. Lord, if we know that they're faults and we do them, they're presumptuous sins. Keep us from that, God. Help us not to incur your judgment. Lord, forgive us for where we sin against you. But Lord, may our hearts, our minds, everything we do, our meditations and our thoughts and our words be acceptable to you today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right.